First John, we're going to continue our study, and as we have gotten into this, it's just been a real joy to me as we've looked at all the different things, and it's been pleasurable for me just in trying to say, okay, how can we make this teach assurance? But the other great thing about it is you don't always have to make it teach assurance. As a matter of fact, this is one of those places where we don't have to try and find assurance. It is right there in front of us. So last week we finished up with 1 John chapter number 3 and verse number 18, and we'll begin with verses 18 and 19. My little children, let us not love in word, neither in tongue, but in deed and truth. And hereby we know that we are of the truth and shall assure our hearts before Him. And so the great way that we can have assurance is by the practice of love. When we see ourselves practicing love, then we can be assured of our salvation. In other words, we know that Jesus Christ has changed us because we're loving and serving someone else. Now, as we preached that message last week, and we challenged you to think about those places where you have practiced love in the past few days or the past few weeks, what is the evidence of that? Maybe your heart was condemned. Maybe you began to think, you know what? I probably haven't loved recently. I haven't practiced love recently. And maybe your heart was condemned over that. And John, as he wrote this epistle, he knew that would be the case. John knew that we have a tendency to look at the negative sides of our lives. We always seem to, and I'm perfect, I'm the greatest at this. I can focus on the things that I don't do or my failures so easily. I forget some of the things that I have done. You know, it's so easy for us to look at the places in our life where we have failed or we haven't did that which we knew that we should do, and we forget all of the places that we have done the right thing or the good thing or the places where we have loved. As a matter of fact, you would think that that would be the case, because if you're truly loving someone, it's natural for you. It's just really second nature. You don't have to wake up in the morning and say, you know, like Kimberly, I don't have to wake up in the morning. By the way, if you're listening on Sermon Audio, Kimberly is my wife. I don't have to wake up in the morning and say, okay, how am I going to love Kimberly today? You know, I don't have to get up and say, I'm going to love her this way and that way and some other ways. Now, sometimes I do that, but my loving of her is natural, and it's not extraordinary. It's not an extraordinary thing for me to do, to love my wife. It's just something that I do. And so the ways that I love her are really not noticeable. But what is noticeable is sometimes maybe when I don't love her the way that I should. You know, for example, last Sunday was Mother's Day, and towards the end of Mother's Day, maybe it was late Saturday night, I can't remember, but anyway, sometimes I was like, you know what, I really didn't get Kimberly anything for Mother's Day from our kids or whatever. A little late to be worrying about that now. But anyway, you know, I was kind of convicted over that. So John knew that our hearts were going to be able to identify the places where we haven't loved like we should, and we won't so readily identify those places where we have loved as we should. And so John recognized the fact that our heart is going to condemn us. So he addresses that. Again, in verses 18 and 19, he tells us that that we're not to love in tongue, but in deed and truth. And hereby we know that we are of the truth and shall assure our hearts before Him. So he tells us to practice love, and then he knows that as we think about it, we're going to be able to identify all these places where we haven't practiced love and that our heart is going to condemn us. So that's where he brings in verse number 20. For if our heart condemn us, God is greater than our heart and knoweth all things. So John recognized the fact that we were going to be convicted over the lack of the practice of love in our lives. And he wants to address that for us so we don't become overwhelmed with guilt. So let's read on. Beloved, if our heart condemn us not, then we have confidence towards God. And whatsoever we ask, we receive of Him, because we keep His commandments and do those things that are pleasing in His sight. And this is His commandment, that we should believe on the name of His Son, Jesus Christ, and love one another as He gave us commandment. And he that keepeth His commandments dwelleth in Him, and He in him. And hereby we know that He abideth in us by the Spirit which He hath given us. Very important. The part that the Holy Spirit plays in the heart of a believer. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, as we come to You tonight, we are thankful that as we are sharing this message tonight, that we have the perfect example of love. You tell us in Your Word that You commended Your love towards us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. God, the perfect example of us for love is the sacrifice of Your Son, Jesus Christ, gave for us when He condescended to men of low estate. He took upon Himself the form of a servant and came and served us by the sacrifice of Himself. We're thankful for that perfect example. Tonight, as we think about the practice of love, we pray, God, that we will keep that perfect example of Your Son, Jesus Christ, in the forefront of our minds. As we think about putting the practice of love, putting love into practice in our own lives, we will keep the example of Jesus Christ in front of us, and we will strive to accomplish that. We thank You that You have given us Your Holy Spirit to lead us and to guide us and direct us. And we pray, God, that each of us tonight will be submissive and obedient to the leadership of the Holy Spirit so we can practice love. And when we practice love, our hearts be assured and not condemned as we think about the eternal life that we have through Your Son, Jesus Christ. So we thank You for Your Word that gives us strength and does build us up in the most holy faith. Help us, dear Heavenly Father, to walk obediently according to Your Spirit. We just thank You for Jesus. It is in His name we pray. Amen. Our hearts are going to condemn us as we think about the practice of love. Because I've already said, we will be able to identify those places in our life where we haven't loved as we should. You know, the heart is really, it's really talking about the conscience, but we can't use the conscience because the conscience, every man has a conscience. And our conscience is going to convict us. Our conscience is a good thing. But really, we who are believers have something more than a conscience. We have the Holy Spirit who guides our conscience. But all men have a conscience. And the conscience is the inner sense of what is right or wrong in one's conduct or motives. And so as we hear this, that John writes to us and tells us not to love only in word, but to love in practice. And as we think about that, we're going to recognize there's some places where we're not always loving, where we're not always compassionate, where sometimes we don't have the best, don't put forth the best effort in loving those in the world, those who are hurting. And so our heart, our conscience is going to say, you know what? You didn't love right there the way that you should have. Or your conscience might just say, he's saying that you ought to love, and then he says you ought to count the places where you did love, and you can't count any of them. You can't tell me any place in your life where you have loved someone in reasons. So you're just not right with God. You can't have that assurance. And so your conscience is telling you all of these things, and you begin to get convicted, and you begin to get, oh, man. I guess I'm just not a good Christian. I guess I'm really not following God as closely as I should. and your conscience begins to lay this guilt trip on you, and Satan gets a hold of that, and he really starts pouring it on, and you begin to get defeated in your heart and in your spirit. John knew that was going to happen to us, and so he wanted to tell us about our conscience. Our conscience is that which compels us to right actions. You see, when we know what is right to do, and we know that we're not doing what is right, our conscience is that that says, hey, wait a minute, you shouldn't do that. Or, hey, you should do this. Your conscience is that which directs you. It's a God-given thing to us. It's a God-given thing that God has instilled in men to guide them to do the right thing in life. So God gave us this conscience. And as we said, we who are Christians, our conscience should be built upon Scripture. The convictions that we have and the convictions that we feel, they should be built upon Scripture and maybe not some of the convictions that the world has. The world might have some things. Well, you're a Christian, so you ought to do this. Well, that's not always the case. What the world thinks that a Christian ought to do is not always what the Bible says that a Christian ought to do. Or what the world thinks that a Christian shouldn't do is not always what the Bible says a Christian should not do. So we don't want the world to lay a guilt trip on us when it's undeserving, when it's undeserved. So we want to make sure that our conscience is guided by the Holy Spirit and by the Word of God, and that our convictions are based upon biblical principles. And we're not allowing the world to lay a guilt trip on us, because the world would have us to think that in all places and in all times that we as Christians should practice love and compassion. And if you're not doing this, then you're not being good or being right. But we understand that what the world thinks is not always the case. But it says here, if our heart condemn us, that word that is used, that is translated condemn there, is only found three times in the Scripture. It is the Greek word kataginosko, and it means to note against or find fault. Now, two of the places that word is used is here in 1 John 3:20 and in 1 John 3:21. Beloved, if our heart condemn us not. So what's he saying? If our heart finds fault, or if our heart does not find fault. Let's look at the only other place in the New Testament where that Greek word is used, and we'll turn to the book of Galatians chapter number 2 and verse number 11. Galatians chapter number 2 here, my Bible says this is Peter's instability. It's when Peter stood with the Jews at times, or stood with the Gentiles at times, but then when the Jews would come around, Peter would separate himself from the Gentiles. He was being kind of two-faced about it. Here's Paul talking about him meeting Peter at Antioch. And Paul had an issue with Peter's, the way he acted around Gentiles when Jews were present. And he says, but when Peter was come to Antioch, I withstood him to the face because he was to be blamed. I found fault with Peter. The word means to find an unfavorable prejudice against. And so, your conscience finds fault. The conscience says, this is the place where you're in error. You should have done this, and you did not. You should have loved that person there, and you didn't. Okay? So as John, again, as he thinks about this, he recognizes the fact that our heart is going to identify places where we don't always served God the way that we should? Have you all ever been, the Holy Spirit says, or maybe you get the feeling that you should, your conscience says you need to do this. And then for whatever reason, something comes up, you know, you get a phone call and you forget about it or whatever. And then later on, you go, oh man, I wanted to do that and I forgot about it. Man! And you get condemned over that. Man, why did I do that? I really should have done that. Or, you know what, I should have talked to that person about the Lord. And, you know, I just got a little scared. You know, or you should forgive someone over what they said that hurt you. And you're really just going to say, you know what, you really need to go to that person and say, you know what, I really forgive you. But that's really difficult to do sometimes. And you just don't do it. And your heart begins to condemn you because you don't go. And, you know, you say, well, it's okay. I'm going to forgive them, but I don't have to tell them I'm going to forgive them. But the Holy Spirit says, no, you need to go tell them that you forgive them. No, I don't want to do that because that's the difficult thing to do. And what if I do that? It's just going to stir up more trouble. But the Holy Spirit said you need to do it, but you decide you're not going to because you don't want to face that difficult thing. And your heart's going to condemn you over that. And we could go on and think about many examples. But our heart is going to find fault in our lives. It's going to find a place where we are not what we should be. And John recognized that. All of us will recognize points in our life when our love is not displayed as it should be. And again, our heart will always pick out and identify those places when we do not love as we should. But as I said, it's so easy for me to do to find all of the negative places. My heart never looks at the positive things. As a matter of fact, I was taught, being raised, not to look at the good things that you've done. You know, the good things are the things that you ought to have done anyway. You know, let me give you for an example. If I would come home, if Mom and Dad would come home from work, and I would say, hey Mom, look, I cut the grass and you didn't even have to ask me to do it. Yeah, you're supposed to cut the grass. So what? That would be my response. Okay? So I was really, my dad, again, I've told you all this many times, but my dad always said, you never brag on yourself. You wait for somebody else to brag on you, and then you'll know you've heard something. But don't you ever brag on yourself. So it's my nature is to not focus on the positive things at all. The positive things are just the things that we're supposed to do. And the Bible says that anyway, doesn't it? When we've done all we can to serve the Lord, we've only done that which is our duty to do. So it's difficult for us to focus on the positive things that we've done, all those times that we have displayed love, all those times that we have forgiven, all those times that we have, you know, said a kind word, all those times that we have met someone's need, all those good things that we have done. It's difficult for us to focus on those, and so we may forget about all the good things that we've done and only focus on the negative. And we'll be condemned over that. Let me say this. If you're having difficulty in this area of feeling condemned over the practice of love, try to just, like you're supposed to count your blessings, try to just sit back and think about all the places where you have given a kind word. You've been nice to the person in line, you know. Just maybe just as much as something as opening the door for someone to let them in before you, or letting someone go in line before you in a grocery store, all different kinds of places where you have practiced having a loving heart. Focus on those and you may find out that you don't have as much reason to be condemned. Now you may need to work on the practice of love, but you don't need to be condemned maybe, because our heart is going to condemn us. Now the next thing he says, for if our heart condemn us, God is greater than our heart. You know, as I studied this, I wanted to think about this as saying, listen, God understands. Your heart is condemning you, and God is greater than your heart, and God understands your motives, and God understands your desires, and God knows what you really want to do, and He's going to be understanding when you don't practice love the way that you should. Most of the commentators don't view this verse this way. Most of the commentators view the verse like this. If you think your heart's going to condemn you, God's greater than your heart, and He's going to condemn you even more. I don't like to think about it in those terms. God is greater than our hearts and knoweth all things. In other words, God knows what's really going on in your heart, and God knows when you really want to display that love. He sees the reality. He knows what's going on. He sees. Think about this. Let's hold your place there in 1 John and let's turn over to the book of Romans, chapter number 7 and verse number 18. Knowing who God is, knowing that He knows all things, God knows this about you. Romans 7 and 18, Paul had this to say. For I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. For the will is present with me, but how to perform that which is good, I find not. You ever find yourself in that place? You know there's something that you need to do. You know there's a good deed that you need to do. You know there's something good that you need to do, and you really want to do it, but how to do it, you can't find that out. You know you need to go witness to somebody, but how to really do it in the best way possible, I just can't find to do it. We know that we need to feed the poor. We need to help those who are poor, but what's the best way to do that? There's all kinds of places when we know sometimes the good things that we should do, but how to put that into practice, sometimes we struggle with that. I can come up with ideas, but putting those ideas into practice is another thing for me, lots of times. God understands that. He knows your heart. He knows your motive. He knows when you want to love. He knows when you want to serve. He understands where you're at and when you're trying to practice love. And so even though our heart condemns us, we want to understand that God knows all things and He knows our heart and He understands. Now, we don't want to use that as an excuse to do nothing. But we want to understand when our heart is condemned, God understands that and God knows. So if your heart condemns you, okay, that's possibly the Holy Spirit saying, the Bible says you're love and you're not loving. The Bible says you ought to forgive and you're not forgiving. The Bible says you shouldn't have malice in your heart and you have malice in your heart. The Bible says that you ought to have compassion on the poor and you're not having compassion on the poor. The Holy Spirit might be convicting over you. Might be convicting you over those things. It might be happening. And so, if the Holy Spirit is convicting you, then you need to make some changes in that. Okay? Always remember, there's therefore now no condemnation to them in Christ Jesus. It's one thing for the Holy Spirit to point those things out. It's something else completely different to feel condemned over that and feel guilty and feel shameful. We don't want to come into that place. Okay? So the Holy Spirit might be condemning you, or the Holy Spirit might be convicting you of the places where you're not practicing love where you should. And so therefore, it might be difficult to have assurance, because remember, it is the practice of love, verse 19, and hereby we know that we are of the truth and shall assure our hearts before Him. So if our heart is always convicting us of the places where we have not been loving God and loving others the way that we should, the Holy Spirit convicts our hearts and we might not have the assurance of our salvation. But if our heart condemns us not, if our heart doesn't find a place to accuse us, we can have confidence towards God. See? But if our heart condemns us not, then we have confidence towards God. Remember, the Holy Spirit works in our heart. The Holy Spirit guides our conscience. He guides our conscience according to His Word. And if the Holy Spirit is not convicting us or condemning us, as the Word says, over not practicing love, then we ought to have confidence and assurance towards God. There's only one danger. You need to make sure that your conscience is not hardened. Like Brother Jason mentioned in the message this morning, that one of the effects of leprosy was it made made people numb. Well, so can a continued sin. If you can commit a sin that you know is sin and it not convict you, your heart has been hardened in that area. So if you know that you ought to practice love and you never practice love and you're not convicted over that, your heart is hardened in that area. So you got to caution yourself against that, because you know the Bible tells us that we're to love one another. And we'll talk about that just a little bit more in just a little bit. But if you're not convicted over this ever, then you need to ask yourself, why am I not convicted over this at all? Make sure your heart is not hardened in this area, because if you're not convicted, your heart could be hardened. Now, what are the benefits of having a heart that is not convicted over the practice or the lack of love? We have confidence towards God. That's one thing. And then look at verse 22. And whatsoever we ask, we receive of Him. Think about that. We have confidence towards God, and we have confidence in prayer. Do you have confidence in your prayer life? I have assurance towards God, and I have confidence that what I ask, I'm going to receive. How can we have that confidence that whatever we ask, we're going to receive? And the reason is, he tells us next thing, because we keep His commandments. We can have that confidence because we know we are being obedient to God and to His words and His commandments. This tells us the importance of obedience. If you want to have confidence in prayer, you need to be obedient to the commandments of God. So the question to you tonight is, how confident are you in prayer? Notice, it's another one of those positive things. And whatsoever we ask, we receive of Him. We have confidence that what we ask of God, we're going to receive of Him. How confident are you that every time you bow your knee in prayer and you ask God and you say, God, I need, give me whatever. How confident are you that you're going to have that? Well, if you do not have confidence, why? A couple of reasons come to mind very quickly. You have not because you ask not, and when you ask amiss that you may consume it upon your own lusts. One of the reasons you may not have confidence in prayer is because the only things you're praying for are things that you can consume upon your own lust. Selfish things. Things for you. That might be one reason you don't have confidence. The second reason that you might not have confidence is because you're not obedient in love, or you're disobedient in love. You really don't put forth the practice of love. You know, and this just popped into my head, but there have been times that I have gone out of my way to practice love towards my wife. There have been times when things haven't been perfect. Really, there's times that I was feeling selfish and feeling like, you know what, well, she's not doing this, she's not doing that, she don't, you know, whatever, blah, blah, blah. You know how you get when you're selfish and you start having your own little pity parties and you start finding out all the errors that the other person was doing and how they weren't doing what they ought to do for you. And you see, there, they don't, not doing what they ought to do for me. And And the Lord said, what you need to do is make sure that you overlove her. You want to make sure you put love into practice. You make sure that everything that she wants, everything she needs out of you, you make sure you do that. I made sure that I put into practice love. She might be sitting, when was that, Mark? I don't really remember it that way, but it happened, really. It did. I can't really tell you when exactly, but it happened. It has happened. And I really wanted to make sure, you know, I want to make sure that I don't leave my dirty clothes laying in the floor. Or I want to make sure that, you know, I take out the garbage when it needs to be. Or I want to make sure that, you know, whatever it is, I want to make sure that if she's got a headache, I rub her neck like she needs, because she gets these migraines. And whatever it is, I want to make sure I did all of those things. There have been times when I really wanted to put into practice love. Well, there maybe that needs to be something that you need to do. If you really are not obedient in the place of love, maybe you need to wake up in the morning and say, today I'm going to love God like this. I'm going to love God by loving that other person. If that other person is acting ugly towards you and not loving you the way that you think they should, maybe you need to overflow love to them. Love them over the top. The old saying was kill them with kindness, but it's really overflow love. If you don't have this kind of confidence in prayer, and if your prayers aren't being answered, maybe you're not practicing love, and maybe you do need to wake up in the morning and say, I need to put into practice love. I want to make sure I don't put into practice anger and hatred, and I want to make sure that, listen, one of the things that I've had to work tremendously on, and I'm not perfect at it yet, but it's the way that I respond to people. Because I respond horribly to people, especially when I was younger. And I've really had to work on that. And the only way I had to work on that was to get up every morning and say, today I'm going to pay attention to the words I say to other people. And I'm going to try not to be short. I'm going to try not to be curt. I'm going to try not to cut people off. I'm going to try to say nice things. I'm going to try to say positive things. And I've really tried to put that into practice. Well, maybe when it comes to love, you really need to put that into practice in your life. Maybe you need to wake up tomorrow and say, you know what? I'm going to be nice to people today. I'm going to make sure that I'm only going to say good things. I'm going to make sure I'm only going to say positive things. I'm going to make sure I don't let anger come out of my voice. I'm going to make sure that what people don't perceive me as being angry all the time. I'm going to make sure that I have love for others. Maybe if you're putting love into practice, maybe your confidence in your prayer life will build. Because again, if we are obedient and our heart doesn't condemn us because we have put in love into practice, we have confidence in prayer. Whatsoever we ask, we receive of Him. Why? Because we keep His commandments. And listen, and do those things that are pleasing in His sight. Have you ever woke up in the morning and said, today, I'm going to do things that are pleasing to God. I'm going to do things that are pleasing to God. I'm sure that probably if you look at your life, you might find some things that are not pleasing to Him. Listen, if you are committing sin, if you're committing some sin, whether it's lying, whether it's some sexual sin, you know, remember, what is sexual sin? Any sex, whether outside marriage, is sin. If you're doing that, you're not pleasing God. You know, whatever it might be, you're cheating on your taxes. Well, that's not pleasing to God. Whatever. Wake up in the morning and do those things that are pleasing to God. Then your heart will not condemn you. Then you can have confidence in prayer life. Because we keep His commandments. What are those commandments? Verse 23. And this is His commandments, that we should believe on the name of His Son, Jesus Christ, and love one another as He gave us commandment. We focus on a lot of things in our churches and in our lives. You know, in our churches, we focus on church authority, and we focus on baptism, we focus on closed communion, and people will focus on King James only Bibles, and they'll focus on, you know, outreach and all these kind of things. That you got to do this, you got to do that, you got to do these other things. Listen, the two things that we ought to focus on more than anything, if you focus on these two things, all those other things will take care of themselves. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, all your mind, and all your strength. And love your neighbor as yourself. You can find that in Matthew 22, 36 through 40, the first and greatest commandments. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, all your mind, and all your strength. Love your neighbor as yourself. Now, turn to John 13 very quickly, and I'll try to bring this to a close. We know, you know this, that Jesus added to those first two commandments when he said, verse 34, a new commandment I give unto you, that you love one another. Now here's what he added to that. As I have loved you, that you also love one another. By this shall all men know that you're my disciples, if you have love one to another. We are to love one another as Christ loved us, sacrificially and as a servant. Our focus should be on loving Christ and loving one another, and using the example that He gave us, serving others. Listen, how do we love? So that we build confidence and we build assurance, and we have assurance in our prayer life by serving others. There's a couple of places that the Word of God tells us that. You see, if we love, it means that we're going to esteem others better than ourselves, right? If we're going to love as Christ loved, we're going to esteem others better than ourselves. And if we're going to love others as Christ loved us, the Bible says, look not every man on his own needs, but every man on the needs of others. You're going to focus on the needs of others if you're going to love like Christ did. You see, if we love Christ with all our heart, all our soul, mind, and strength, it's going to keep us from sin. And if we love others, if we love one another, it's going to keep us in unity, and it's going to keep us together, and it's going to keep us serving God together. Now, in conclusion, let's go back. I've really sped up on these last few points, but verse 24 of 1 John 3:24, and he that keepeth his commandments, those that love the Lord their God with all their heart, all their soul, all their mind, and all their strength. And that love for Him is what keeps them away from sin. That love from Him is what keeps them obedient to Him. That love for Jesus Christ keeps them pure and holy and true. You keep His commandments. You keep His commandments, He's going to dwell in you, and you're going to dwell in Him. And hereby, we know that He abideth in us by His Holy Spirit. You see, when we dwell in Christ, His presence also dwells in us. How do we know that? Romans 8:16 says that His Spirit will bear witness with our spirit, that we know that we're the children of God. You see, when we're dwelling in Him and He in us, no one has to tell us, but His Spirit is telling us that. His Spirit is leading us and guiding us and directing us and bearing witness with our spirit that we're the children of God and that we're following Him and that we're walking obediently and we're walking well-pleasing to Him. And when we act because we love Jesus Christ and because we love Christ, we love others. When all those things are taking place in our heart, again, you wake up in the morning and today I'm just going to love Jesus. And that love that you have for Jesus is what guides your steps. Again, it keeps you from sin. And it causes you to do righteousness. And it causes you to look upon the needs that others have. That love for Jesus, you see Jesus working in your life, and it brings assurance to your life. There's no one that can tell you, listen, I don't think you're saved, somebody might say. Or, how do you know that you're saved? Well, here's how I know that I'm saved. Because look what Jesus, you know, the song we sang this morning, let me tell you about Jesus and what He's done for me. Right? He saved a sinner. On the days I'm in the valley, I go to Him in prayer. You know, Jesus is alive and working in my life, and I see His I feel His presence and I find His leadership and I know He's there. You cannot deny His presence. His presence in your life is what gives you assurance. How are you going to know His presence? By loving others. Living your life in such a way that's pleasing to Him. That's going to build assurance in your life. These are the things that John wanted the recipients of this epistle to know. How to have assurance. Have assurance by loving others and loving Jesus first and foremost. And that will build in your heart assurance. Heavenly Father, we thank You for the truth that we find contained in Your Word tonight. Help us to learn and grow. Most importantly, God, help us to put the love that You have given us into practice. We thank You, God, for loving us unconditionally and condescending to us and loving us. Loving us when we were yet sinners. When we didn't deserve it, God, You loved us. And we thank You for that. May all of our hearts be assured tonight of our love that we have for You and the love that You have for us. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen.